Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 80 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the pumpkin-loving autumn equinox is almost here, September baby creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I have put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And what I want to say to you today is, yes, you can have it all. Kind of. Sort of. Okay, you can't have it all. Not how it used to mean, having it all. But you can have it all if you look at it from a more spiritual point of view, which kind of, to me, actually, when I think about that, it's a little bit disappointing. There's a, if you put you can have it all into a Google search and you look at the images that come up, there's going to be a lot of memes that say things like, the secret to having it all is knowing that you already do. Aww, isn't that sweet? And a little bit disappointing, kind of, sort of. For those of us that aren't so evolved, I guess. But it is true in a sense. It's true if you consider that everything you want or desire, everything that you truly want and desire, everything that your soul wants, maybe not everything your ego wants, but everything that your soul wants is already available to and even within you. And I also happen to think that everything that your ego thinks it wants or desires, that's probably already available to you and even within you as well. If you can imagine it, at least, at the very least, it exists in your imagination. And it may even exist on the astral plane, for those of us that believe in that. I think that Daniel Laporte has done a lot of interesting work around this idea of what the work that she's doing with the desire map, which is something that I touched a lot on in the winter solstice module for the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year, which I've been talking a lot about lately because we have this autumn equinox module coming up. But back for the winter solstice, I have a hard time saying that word for some reason, but back at that solstice, we did a lot of work on that was very similar to the desire maps. I actually was inspired by the book that came before that, the Firestarter Sessions, because she did a chapter in there that I think spurred the whole desire map thing that she's doing now. But that is about getting to the feeling state of what it is you really, truly desire, getting in touch with what you truly, truly desire, and letting that be your guide in a way. And thinking about the feelings that you think, having that thing that you desire, what are those feelings that you're going for? So it's not really like, I really want that red Lamborghini. It's not the red Lamborghini that you desire. It's the feeling that you think having the red Lamborghini will give you if you have it. So you think it will make you feel cool. You think it will make you feel important. You think it will make you feel more attractive to the opposite sex or powerful. So she's done a lot of great work around that, and I appreciate that. And I think that it ties in to having it all, because having it all, I mean, you can't have it all, but maybe you can have it all in terms of what it is you truly desire. If you can get down to the essence of the feeling state that you're going for and recognize that a lot of the different things that you desire, a lot of the different things that you think you want or need boil down to really just a few feeling states that you desire. I think that's really interesting. And it's all fine and good to do this psycho-spiritual work. That's all, you know, that's what I'm all about here. That's what I'm talking about all of the time. And I think most of us in this community, you know, we're fairly evolved and we're interested in these spiritual matters. But I also think there's a part of us that's like, hey, what about manifestation here on the material plane? Is this whole lure of magic or the law of attraction that so many of us get into because we want to learn how to be great manifestors, is that really just some elaborate scheme to get us into a more feeling place where we can ascend our earthly desires and become these witchy Zen masters who eventually just, you know, eschew all material pleasures altogether in favor of a state of eternal peace and bliss? I think that the Buddha would laugh his ass off at that. I don't think that we are meant to deny all earthly pleasures, but I think that's been like a trend. I think a lot of people that get into magic, if they're really honest with themselves, or if you just look at, you know, the books and the spells that are the most popular and that people gravitate toward, it's always how to get rich, how to make money, or how to have love, or the sex that you want. It's, you know, money and love. It's the things that we want that we're trying to manifest into our lives. Most people are like, aren't, I want a spell for eternal peace within. That might be what you're really going for, and that might be true. That might be lying underneath, you know, the sex that you want or the love that you want or the money that you want. You might really be after eternal peace. But I think it's interesting to actually be like, hey, you know, it's okay to want to have enough money to pay your bills. That's okay. That's okay. And magic can be good for that. And the law of attraction, it's okay to want to find your soulmate or the love of your life. That's okay. You don't have to bypass your every earthly desire in the name of some higher spiritual calling. I think we get a little bit out of hand with that, or at least that's just my perspective. I get a little sick of the constant woo-woo and the pastel rainbow landscapes and the very soft woo-woo sometimes. I just want that thing that I want. And then on the other hand, and speaking as a person who grew up in the greed is good, you can have it all, 80s, the era of the so-called superwoman, I know that having it all in a material sense, it's not going to do it either. If you saw The Wolf of Wall Street recently, that's like a prime example of what happens when people think they're having it all and their lives just fall to pieces and they hurt a lot of other people in the process. So I think there's, you know, a balance somewhere in there between the two. We are physical beings on this material plane experiencing this material life, and we're spiritual beings, much more than we are physical beings. But we're spiritual beings here having a physical experience, and I think both are completely valid. The little meme, I usually choose a meme to post on Facebook with my link that says, hey, come listen to today's show. So today it was George Carlin. It was a George Carlin quote, and he said, trying to be happy while accumulating possessions is like trying to satisfy hunger by taping sandwiches all over your body. I just thought that was funny. It made me laugh. But these sandwiches that you've taped all over your body, so to speak, or those 432 crystals you have collecting dust on your witchy shelves, there is no real sustenance there. They are merely symbols. So true. It's true that I'm talking myself into circles here. Let me take a step back. That those things are symbols. That those 432 crystals collecting dust on your shelves, those sandwiches taped to your body, that red Lamborghini, that those things are just symbols for that feeling state that we were talking about earlier that you want, that is one clue for having it all, if having it all means satisfaction and fulfillment. You cannot become satisfied no matter how many crystals you collect if you think that the next crystal is finally going to be the one that creates that satisfaction or that next sandwich that you tape to your body if you're only focused on the material. You've got to nurture yourself and fill your life with the things that truly sustain you, the things that bring you a sense of joy and purpose and leave you feeling satisfied at the end of the day when your head hits the pillow. So maybe you're a person like, and I just want to play devil's advocate with myself here and stand up for all my crystal-loving friends because I know most of you are crystal lovers, but maybe someone like Hibiscus Moon, who is like the queen bee crystal lady on the internet, maybe it makes sense for her to have 432 crystals. Because that's her business, that's her passion, and it's not each individual crystal that's giving her so much satisfaction and fulfillment and this feeling of having it all, but it's the overall big picture of engaging in that practice, I want to say, and engaging in that business and engaging in that passion. There we go. That's the word that I'm looking for. And that looks completely different for each of us. So it's not even possible to, you know, watch Hibiscus Moon's videos and be like, oh, she looks happy. That looks awesome. I'm going to do that too. You can't do that. You can't just like superimpose someone else's sense of purpose or someone else's idea of having it all onto your own life and get that sense of satisfaction. You can try it on and see if it fits. But most likely, it's going to be a custom job in the end. And maybe you have to try on a lot of different things to see if they fit before you start getting into the customization of your own, you know, kick-ass dream or whatever that might be for you. It's not possible to subscribe to some magazine or TV talk show's prescription for having it all without feeling, in the end, like you're striving for something that you have no real connection to and ultimately feeling like you're coming up short, really. So let's use this 1980s idea of the superwoman. I think that it probably was around in the 70s, and I was around in the 70s too, but I really identify with the 80s because that's when I was, like, you know, old enough to know what was going on around me. So let's use this idea of the superwoman. The superwoman was a well-meaning, if flawed, notion that was born out of, I think, the feminist movement, which I love. But then it reached all kinds of bizarrely stressful heights and created a lot of pressure on women and men, actually. Once product marketing and media manipulation entered into the equation, you know, because once they get a whiff of what's going on, what's trending and what's, you know, kind of going on with the country, they hop on it and they start telling, you know, selling you products and manipulating your emotions to kind of heighten that feeling and get you buying their stuff. So this idea of the superwoman, this notion that women can have and do it all, started really like compounding when corporations started getting in on that and pushing that image forward. And women, I think we went a little bit crazy. Or the women of that time. I was just a kid. But the superwoman, supposedly this magical superwoman, she was a woman who had it all. She had the husband, the kids, the perfectly aerobicized buns of steel, the powerful career with the corner office, and a glamorous social life after hours. She made her own money. She made love to her husband nightly like an Olympic champion wearing Victoria's Secret's lingerie and reenacting Cosmopolitan's latest top 10 tips for driving your man wild. And she had a warm, wholesome dinner served and prepared for her family with a smile on her face every evening, at which time she would thoughtfully ask each and every one of her children about their lives and then help them with their homework. No one could live up to this. No one. And so many women were negatively influenced by this because it was a whole damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, and everybody felt guilty. The moms who had careers felt guilty, like they weren't spending enough time with their kids. The stay-at-home moms felt guilty that they weren't out having a career. And no, as cute as Michael Keaton was, Mr. Mom did not, in fact, turn out to be the answer, at least not for everyone. And that is my point. Having it all looks different for everyone. So using the superwoman, I guess, as an example, or a working woman even, let's just say a working woman, not a superwoman, a regular working woman, a woman who has a job and is also a mother. A mother with a job, that might look really different from household to household, especially when you're talking about satisfaction and fulfillment. So one woman might really value being out in the world, providing a substantial income for her family, which she feels is taking care of her family. She might feel that it's important to set an example for her kids that, yes, women work, mommy kicks ass. She might feel it's important that she has a fulfilling life outside the home so that she is a happier, more present mother when she is in the home. And then maybe the way she spends time with her kids when she's not busy working on her career, which might take up the majority of her time, maybe then she knocks it out of the park on the weekends, you know, making her family a special Sunday brunch or going to the movies together or playing ball or taking little vacations. And this is a place where rituals can be really valuable, especially for the people you love in your life, you know, having a commitment that you're going to get home. If you live a really busy life outside the home, you're going to be home every single night in time to read your kids a bedtime story before they go to sleep. One simple 20-minute ritual like that every single day that you commit to, that can mean so much to your kids, so much to you. And if you're able to be really present in the moment, that might be enough to make you feel like a good mom, especially if the person that you're paying to provide childcare is someone that you trust so that you can go to work, you know, and not be a nervous wreck worrying about your kids. If you can have that going on for yourself, if you're making enough money to pay somebody to help with the childcare, and then you spend that quality time on the weekends or you have, you know, a bedtime ritual like that, that might be your idea of having it all. On the flip side of that, there are some moms, you know, that have to work, that have to have a job, but that who value more being home every day with their kids. They might want to homeschool their kids. They might want to make every meal from scratch by hand because to them that is love, and that's how they love their kids. They want to do puzzles with them on the floor. They want to be a part of their every single day, day-to-day life. They might consider that their career, or they might, like me, run a business from home. And just work that into their life with their kids being their top priority. And they might have a very supportive husband, financially and otherwise, who helps make this whole arrangement possible. And so that could be that woman's idea of having it all. You see how the two look very different? And neither is right or wrong. They're just different. What makes it right, I guess, is the way that the woman feels about her own life, or vice versa, the man. There are Mr. Moms out there rocking the dad role and happy to do so and loving their career-oriented wives. This goes both ways. I just wanted to use the superwoman as an example because that was one that was just crammed down our throats for a few decades and made everybody a little bit nuts. And I think, you know, the word priority becomes a priority. Priorities become a priority when you start thinking about having it all. And I really started thinking about priorities when I was writing the Autumn Equinox module for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. Could I have picked a longer name for this program? I do get a little bit of a kick out of saying it. But anyway, I was thinking about priorities because I wanted to talk about making your life strong, and I wanted to really create awesome transformation for people with this module in a way that they could measure at the end of it, so they could go through the module and be like, holy cow, like, I made a real change in my life. I experienced a real transformation. So I really challenged myself, like, how can I do this? How can I do this for myself? How can I do this for every single person taking the course if they choose to really engage with it. So I was thinking about priorities, and I came across this quote by Gandhi that says, action expresses priorities. And a huge light bulb went off for me, and I ended up writing this section for this module about that and about how, you know, what you think your priorities are and what they actually are might be two different things. And then I shared a way that you can go into your life and actually look at your life and see what your priorities actually are. So, you know, this whole idea that you can have it all, when it comes to prioritizing and stuff like that, I really start thinking about, it's a cliche now. You know, you'll hear people who have really successful lives, interviewers will also often ask them, like, can you have it all? That's like the Barbara Walters question, can you really have it all? It's often asked of women because women are expected to raise kids, have a family, clean the house. I don't know how we became the housekeepers of the world. and have, you know, have these amazing careers. And what you'll often hear, the cliche answer is, yes, you can have it all, just not all at the same time. You know, considering that you live a fairly long, healthy life, this is one idea that really resonates with me. And it brings me comfort because I have a lot of things in my life that I've wanted to do that I've had to put off because of certain priorities. And I just tell myself, okay, I can have it all, just not all at the same time. You know, there's a season for everything. And when I look at my own life, and I look at what I actually spend my time doing, I can see that my son is undoubtedly my number one top priority. It's in evidence in every single thing that I do, but it's something that I don't really think about. and I didn't really consider that until I wrote this module, actually. Before, if you would ask me what my priorities were, I probably would have listed off all kinds of crazy things. But in actually looking at how I spend my time and what the choices I've made in my life, it's obvious what my number one priority is, far and away. It's Tanner. And but it's funny, what I'm thinking the most about, Tanner's in evidence, that as a priority is in evidence in what I'm doing every single day. But what I'm thinking about, what's on my mind most of the time, is how to make Kick-Ass Witch work in a way that serves the most people in a genuine, authentic way, how I can have a blast doing it without losing my shirt, you know, how I can make a living inspiring other people. So, yes, I'm getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning every single day, sometimes earlier, so that I can get my kid ready for his program. I can make his breakfast, pack his lunch, get him on the bus on time. I'm hunched over the bathtub every single night at the same time, washing his hair. I'm trying to, you know, teach him how to brush his teeth. I'm like, beginning and ending my day with Tanner and then all kinds of things all throughout those, you know, the morning and evening, taking care of this kid. I gave up my Hollywood dreams to stay home. That one really hurt, but I wanted to stay home to take care of my kid. I made that sacrifice. Maybe one day there will be a time for that. Maybe instead of getting to be the ingenue movie star that I first imagined I would one day be, maybe later on when I'm an old lady, I'll get to be the grand dame or better yet, a director. There are ways of being a part of the movie making experience that don't have an age limit on them. So I think that's interesting to consider that, you know, if you would have asked me what my priority back then, it would have been like, oh, Hollywood, 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 making it in Hollywood. But I didn't choose that. I chose my son. So it's really interesting to take a look at your life and see what your real priorities are. And then also just in the bigger scheme of things, if you can have it all, but maybe not at the same time. So again, using myself as an example, I think it's interesting to consider that what I am doing right now is what I thought that I would do after I became this big Hollywood success that I imagined I would be. And I'm making fun of myself because that's such a lofty, funny, superficial goal that I had, you know, 20 years ago. And I still completely love Hollywood, like, to death. I love the movies, obviously. I talk about it all the time. But I laugh because I know that's a funny goal. But it was serious to me at the time. But I thought that after I achieved that, I would use whatever visibility I achieved to inspire other people to live their best lives. I wanted to inspire people to see the best in themselves and to reach for their dreams. And what's funny is that is what I'm doing right now from my couch while I'm staying home with my kid. You know, I have no air conditioning. I don't have a lot of money. I'm blessed that I have access to the internet and that I have found a way to connect with you all. And I spend so much of my time trying to inspire other people, you know, to create the kick-ass life of their dreams. And it's almost like I skipped the middleman in a way. I didn't have to go be a big Hollywood star to do that. I could just show up to be of service and make that happen. It kind of all just got flipped around. Maybe one day I'll get to do that dream. Maybe there is a season for everything. Maybe you can have it all, just not at all at the same time, and maybe not in the order that you imagined. And then also, I know I'm jumping around a lot. That happens when I start talking about my own life. But I think that when it comes to your priorities, you know, once you identify what your true priorities are and you narrow it down to just a handful, you can then narrow that down even further to just like one or two or three. So for you, for me, it might be my son and my business. Those are my two biggest priorities. That is far and away what I devote the most time to. But I also care about my other relationships, and I have a passion for health and fitness, nutrition specifically. And then, of course, I have to do all the usual things, you know, like keep my house clean, feed the cats, pay the bills, blah, blah, blah. And that's where I think that rituals really come in handy, and doing the work of getting a bunch of little mindless rituals into place so that those things get done in a way that is good enough. And you can just say good enough is good enough so that you can put your energy into those priorities, the things that make you feel like you have it all, the things that bring you satisfaction, the things that make you feel fulfilled. For example, I know that I am genetically blessed. If I wanted to invest, you know, an hour, 6 days a week into having the perfect, most spectacular bikini model body ever, I know that I could do that. I have the frame and the genes to do that. Instead, I only work out 20 to 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and call good enough, because having the perfect, most spectacular bikini model body is not one of my top priorities. Sure, it would be nice. It'd be all kinds of crazy good fun to have a body like that. But again, that is not where my true drive resides. That's not where I get the most satisfaction. So the way I manage something like that is just with rituals. That 20 to 30 minute workout, you know, at least 5 days a week, that's just a ritual I have in place. That's something I do. It makes me feel good about myself. It keeps my self-esteem up. It keeps me healthy. But it's not my top priority. And rituals make sure that things that need to get done, they get done to a satisfactory level on a regular basis. They don't get done at the highest level. They don't break records or make your neighbors go, wow. But they get it done in that good enough is good enough kind of way, which allows room in your schedule and, more importantly, room in your heart and mind for those things that are at the top of your priority list, the things that if you do them at a high level, if you excelled in that regard, you would feel that deep sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that the notion of having it all, so to speak, promises to deliver. There's so much more I wanted to say about this, but I'm out of time again today. I hope you got something good out of this show, you know, a little food for thought about what having it all might mean to you specifically. And if you want to go deeper with this whole idea of what identifying your true priorities are, that's one of the things we're talking about in the autumn equinox module, the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. You can check that out at www.psychospiritualwheeloftheyear.com. You can find it everywhere I am, Twitter, Facebook, my website, www.joannadebow.com, and I will be here next Tuesday talking at you. In the meantime, much love. Peace.